chapter 1. I want to read one verse of Scripture here in this passage. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Really just a couple of things I want to look at in this verse today. A couple of words that make it the very, very distinctive word. The gospel is a simple thing. It's a singular thing. It's an absolute thing. And it's difficult for men because of that. It's only one way, one truth, and one life. It's not hard to understand. The gospel is easy to understand. It's hard to swallow. Impossible apart from a work of grace in your heart. The things that stand out in this verse that make it distinctive are the word after. In whom you also trusted after, and the word of truth. I've gotten in trouble over the years with several people over this word after because it's a very defining word. Paul says you believe or trust in Christ after you heard the word of truth. Was a doctor one time, one of those guys that work on eyes from down in Florida, who came and heard me, had read some of the stuff I had online and was interested. So he actually moved to the area. And he came and seemed to be supportive of the ministry there. And one day I was preaching from Ephesians and preached this word after. And illuminated on it a little bit, and he cornered me on the front steps of the church and told me that he was saved back when he was a child, and that he believed God and he believed the truth, and he had never heard the gospel. And then I told him that he hadn't, because you believe after you hear the word of truth. He called me up and later and told me that he wouldn't be coming back, and he was real angry with me. And I told him, I said, I don't doubt your experience, whatever happened to you when you were a young man, because people have experiences. Everybody does. I've had plenty in my life, most of them in false religion, but I had tons of experiences, and they were real. They felt real. They changed me a little bit for a little bit of time. And I said, I don't doubt your experience, but here's what you have to do. As a child of God, you have to weigh your experience in light of the clear declaration of Scripture. And he didn't like that, so he left and went to a town about 50 miles away and joined a Presbyterian church, because I guess they never brought that up. But nonetheless, these are the words of Paul. He says, "You in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." These words, "in whom you also trusted," is how this verse begins. And this with the last phrase of verse 12 is the first reference to the believer's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, in this wonderful treatise of the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and salvation, it begins in verse 3 and ends in verse 14 of this chapter. This is the first reference to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we know it's the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and applies it to the hearts of people. We preach the gospel to all creatures. We tell all men to close with Christ. Some come and some don't. We know those who do come because they've been taught of the Father. For everyone that has learned of the Father comes to Christ. This is what our Lord said. We know those who don't come and don't have any interest is because they have no need or desire for Christ whatsoever. And that cannot be created by the preacher. That is God uses that terminology because it's important for us to understand that these things are felt and understood by men. We know what it is to be thirsty. Now, we naturally don't know what it is to thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we do know what it is to thirst. And I can't make you thirsty. If you're thirsty, you know it. And if you're not, you know it. So if I tell you that you need Christ, you might say, well, you're crazy. I have no need. If I tell you you're thirsty, you say, I'm not thirsty at all. I just had a glass of water. If I tell you you're hungry, no, I just had a meal. The need is created by God Almighty. The thirst is created. The hunger is created by God Almighty. And that's when men come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, taking the things of Christ and revealing them unto the elect of God. The word also refers back to the last phrase of verse 12, as I said, which is this, that it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ. Now, Paul is making a distinction here somewhat. And I believe the distinction he's making is between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because later on in verse 2, he illuminates the fact that no longer exists in the Lord Jesus Christ, the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, because Jewish believers and Gentile believers are all one in Jesus Christ. Of the twain, He's made one new man. So he's distinguishing it. The Jews were the first to receive the gospel. They were the first to hear the gospel. And since as a national religion they rejected it, we know that from Acts chapter 13, the gospel was sent to the Gentiles. And that's you and me. He does not make the distinction to show some difference, but rather to eventually show that there is no difference in Christ. The difference lies between the spiritual and the natural. The first distinction is that of time, this word after, in reference to the knowledge of salvation. The elect, whether Jew or Gentile, do not know of their salvation until after they hear the word of truth. Might all be important to look a little bit at the concept of salvation. You know, it's bandied about. Everybody talks about salvation. Religion talks about salvation all the time, but that says something. The word means something. To be saved means that you were in trouble. To be saved means that you were held captive. To be delivered means you were held captive. So when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about an act of God whereby He delivers His people. It's not just some concept that is thrown out there that man can take at their will, or that's some kind of commodity that can be taken off of a shelf. This is a matter of something taking place. When we're talking about salvation, we're talking about things like the Lord said of going into Satan's domain and unthroning him or dethroning him and taking his spoils. That's salvation. And always in salvation, from Genesis to Revelation, two things are always true. God saves His people and destroys His enemies. That's always the case. And that's what salvation is. So the salvation being talking about, this word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is about something taking place because God has done it. The true distinction, as I said, is that of time. Until you hear the gospel, there's no sense in it at all in which you will understand that salvation is yours. Until you hear the gospel. The other things that are called the gospel will be of no benefit whatsoever to you. Now, these people have been chosen. They've already been told that. In verse 3 and 4 of this chapter, God has chosen them unto salvation. According as He's chosen them in Christ unto salvation, before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy, and that word be means a state of being, be holy, and without blame before Him in love. So until the gospel came to them, they were ensconced in their pagan works of religion. Ephesus was a place where Diana was the chief god, and she was a pretty big deal in Ephesus, and even today in that area, some people still worship her. They have been chosen. They have been predestinated. They have been made to be holy and blameless and accepted and forgiven. They are that's their case. They can look at the history of the record of their salvation. They can say whoever God has saved, He chose, predestinated, forgave, gave wisdom and understanding, gathered in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a done deal. That's a record. That's a record that can't be changed. It can't be tampered with. They all have been told this about themselves, but yet they don't know of it all until they hear the gospel. They don't understand it. They don't appreciate it until they hear the gospel. Paul told young Timothy to preach the gospel here at Ephesus. He told him not to. He told him to stay there so nobody would preach any other doctrine. If you read that in 1 Timothy. Now, it was not until some preacher came along. Now, if you're the elect of God, you were already chosen. Already made holy. Already redeemed. Already forgiven. But you was walking around and practicing your paganism just like everybody else. You had no idea of it. Until somebody come along and preach the gospel to you. That's what it means. You didn't believe until after you heard the word of truth. No one knows Christ. No one knows Christ without hearing the truth. The word of truth. And they must hear the truth or they will continue to be in unbelief. You must hear the gospel. That's why the gospel in itself, the language of the words, good news, that's something broadcast. That's something published. That's something said. The gospel is the gospel when it's preached in reality. That's how it comes to being. It comes to me. And I know some people say, well, you can read the scriptures and God will save you. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. I'm not going to corner God on anything, try to will him out to what he's not. I don't know. But we have no warrant to say that in scripture, no right to say that. I had a fellow tell me one time that, they usually ask the question, do you believe a person can be saved by reading the scriptures? They usually ask that question. And I usually say, well, why do you ask? Because I know where they're coming from, that they believe they were saved before they heard the gospel. And this fellow was a preacher, and he said, well, I believe I was saved just reading the Bible. And I said, well, maybe you were. I don't know. I said, but you don't have any warrant to say that. He said, well, I believe it. I said, well, next time you get up next Sunday when you go to preach, just close your book. He said, we're not going to meet anymore. Just go home and read your Bibles. He had nothing to say about that, but that's the case. The gospel is a thing that is preached, and it's not until you hear it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the clear declaration of Scripture. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they believe in him who've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? This is the declaration of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians, Paul told, we preach Christ, the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God because the world by its own wisdom cannot know God. But we preach Christ, the wisdom and the power of God. This is essential truth, what we're talking about. This is elementary stuff. This is kindergarten. You know, people say election's a high and holy doctrine. No, it's kindergarten. This is basic stuff. This is basic stuff. A man's not preached the gospel and he preaches the word of truth. And the word of truth is specific. In this passage is specifically set forth. The major and essential distinction is this matter of the word of truth. Now the elect believe after they hear the word of truth. That's the language. That's the language. What then is the truth they hear? This is astounding. This is astounding. Most every religion that travels under the umbrella of Christianity believes that they preach the gospel, they say they do, and that they believe the truth. If you ask them, they'll tell you they believe the truth. But this passage not only states that the truth must be preached, it declares the truth that faith believes. It's the truth that the elect hear. It's a specific truth to them. You believed after you heard the word of truth. Now, I preach the gospel to many people who have no interest in Christ whatsoever. Do they hear the word of truth? They hear the gospel. They hear the gospel as it's preached, but do they hear it as the word of truth? Remember, Paul, the Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians that you heard the word of God, and we were glad for that, but you heard it not as if it were the word of men, but as if God himself was speaking to you. Or if it was the word of God in truth. Most every religion travels under that Christian umbrella believes that they believe the truth. But if a preacher tells his hearer that there is something that they must do to be saved, is he telling them the truth? No, it's not. Not telling them the truth. Not according to this passage. If a preacher tells his hearers that God cannot save them unless they let Him, is he telling them the truth? No, he's not telling the truth, not according to these words. The first 12 verses of this chapter lay out a precise language, exactly how God saves sinners, how God saves His people. And the thing that is obviously blatantly absent is the contribution of mankind on any level. There is no contribution from human beings in these verses. Read them over and over again. Find one instance where man does something. Unless one possesses the inclination to twist Scripture to his own destruction and explain away the truth, one cannot casually read verses 3 through 12 and come up with a notion that anyone but God had anything to do with their salvation. If you can read those verses and come up with something for man to do, let me know. Because it's simply not there. It's simply not there. This is the truth that the believer hears and afterward believes. But there is more to this than that. There is more to what the elect hear when they hear the word of truth. And this is the amazing thing. It comes as the gospel. Now we say, I'm a gospel preacher, and I preach the gospel. The gospel is good news. It's good tidings of good things. Many of those whom I preached to over the years, it wasn't good news. But it was the gospel. It was the gospel, but it wasn't good news. They heard it. It comes to the elect as the gospel. It comes to the elect as the good tidings of good things. They hear it that way. There are multitudes who hear the truth proclaimed but have no interest in it whatsoever. Why? They don't have any need for it. It's not good news to them. The good news does not address their what they believe about their own condition. So it's not good news at all. The gospel is good news to those who have been, by the Spirit, made hungry and thirsty for that which they cannot of themselves attain. Good news for the hungry is not the bread that bread might be attained. That's not good news to the hungry. It's good news to a hungry person to hand him a piece of bread. Isn't it? That's good news. That's good news. And that's what the gospel is. That's why it's called the word of truth, the good news of your salvation. And this is the marvel of what we do. We stand and we preach the gospel, or we tell folks about Christ, or tell him what he's done for us. You know from your own experience, when you've done that, a lot of people just look at you with a blank stare, or their eyes crossed. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. But some people you've talked to, after a while, they begin to say, well, tell me more. Tell me more. Why is that? Because it's good news to them. It's the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It's the good news of your salvation. Now it gets personal. God gets personal about this. What do you hear if you're one of the elect, if you're one of the sheep? What do you hear when the gospel is preached? Do you hear a list of things that you must do in order to be right with God? Do you hear that it's possible that you could be saved? Is that the language? Do you hear even that it's probable that you will be saved? Or if you do this or that, that you will be saved? What do you hear? What did you hear when you heard the gospel? And this is the marvel. You heard that you had been saved. Not that you could be. You see, it's the gospel, the good news of your salvation. That's the word of truth. Now, we preach the truth to all men, but the word of truth comes to the elect with the good news. And what does it say? It says, God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. I have them all? You have them all. And He's done it according He's chosen you before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before Him. in love having predestinated you to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made you accepted in the beloved. That's the good news. Not that you have something to do, but God has done this wondrous thing. I didn't know he chose me. I had no interest in such a thing. You mean while I was out here living like a hellion, I had been chosen to salvation? I had been chosen and ordained to be holy before God? You mean that had happened? It was already taken place? There was no changing to it? That he had chosen me to be adopted in the Lord Jesus Christ? That he had made me holy? That he accepted me in the beloved? And it's all for his praise and the praise of his grace and nothing to be praised in me? This is what you heard. This is the word of truth that comes to the elect of God. That's why they believe after they heard the word of truth. God gives them faith and they say, look what God has done for me, not what I've done for God or what can be done or what could be done or what might be done or there's a possibility or a probability that I might be saved. They heard, God has saved me. God has saved me and called me with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. This is good news. You want good news? You tell an old, dead, wretched sinner who can't lift as much as a finger and has no interest in God whatsoever that God has done wondrous things for him. You say, God has saved his elect. God has saved his people. God has done that. And that's good news. But if you tell him, if you'll just get out of your grave, or being lame and halt and impotent, if you'll just take the first step, that's not good news. Or if you hold out a carrot on a stick and say, here's a biscuit if you're hungry, come and get it, but he's dead. And he can't do anything. That's not good news. Here's the good news. This is why we have confidence in the message that we speak. We're not speaking to people who won't hear. Some won't, but some will. God's people will hear. And here's what they'll hear. God has saved me. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me my sins. He's gathered me in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me an excellent wisdom. He's made me have wisdom and prudence. And you have that. You have what no other person in the world has. Think about it. You have an excellent wisdom. Now, it is singular. It's not wisdom of all things. It's the understanding of all things of how they work according to God's purpose. But it's the wisdom of the singular knowledge that you know how God saved you. And you're glad to tell it. You know how God has operated in this matter of salvation. And you're an expert. You have an extreme intelligence. That word wisdom down here in this passage is extreme intelligence in this one thing. I know how God saved me. I know how God saved me. And I know why he saved me. He saved me for the praise of the glory of his grace. God gave me faith. What did I believe? That God had saved me. That's what faith believes. It believes the report that God has given concerning his son. When Ruth and Naomi were in Moab, and everything went wrong. Naomi's husband had died, Ruth and her sister's husbands had died, and they were destitute. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6, it says this, they heard some good news. It said they heard that God had visited his people in giving them bread. Not in offering them bread, not in making bread available to them. God had visited his people in giving them bread. This is what the gospel is. God has visited his people in giving them the bread of life. He's given it to them because he's given them all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. When do we believe? After we hear the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The good news that God has saved us. This is good news. Nothing else is good news. You believe after you heard the word of truth. The gospel is the good news of salvation realized as belonging to us. It's yours. Your salvation. Though prior to hearing it, there's no knowledge of election or even of God as He's revealed in the word of truth. Prior to that work of grace, the word comes on wings of mercy, saying to the elect, salvation is yours and has been yours since the world began, and the faith that the word has created believes the good news after it's heard. You see, the gospel is a record. In fact, this whole book is a record. It's a record, an historical account of the salvation that God has accomplished for His people and given to them before the world began. This is the gospel. This is the good news of your salvation. And you believed it after you heard the word of truth. Father, bless us for understanding and pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.